Hello, this is Jim Thomas welcoming you to the Message Share Ministry of the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church located in Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania. The message you are about to hear was preached in a worship service. After some congregational singing, our speaker is William P. Robbins, who is a pastor and elder.
Now the next hymn, let's stand up inwardly. The stand up for Jesus. I believe that's an inward thing also. 477. I've been concerned that it's one of the things I think around here that is common, that we get so interested in the trees that we don't see the forest, or the woods. And you say, well, I don't know what that was all about, but it was pretty good. And so I'm trying to show you this morning, you need to look at the woods or the forest, and not only the trees individually, but we've looked at these six pieces of the armor of God. And I am going to give a little review and then get into the introduction of verse 18 in the sixth chapter of Ephesians. And there is where I think is a great need for all of us, none of us excluded. And that is that we're praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. There is where I'm going to hope to be for a little while. I think it's so important that we understand this. But first, I think to see the woods, I'm going to read this passage, starting at verse 10, Ephesians 6. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the schemes of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickedness in high places. I think that's a demonic emphasis that is going on in our society, in this world of ours. Verse 13. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth, that is the belt, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now that's not the seventh piece of this armor, but I tell you, it's very, very important. And I want us to get that. We're in a war. I don't know if you know that or not. Some people think that it's a time of ease and prosperity. And the TV, you'll have there's a prosperity gospel, how you can be wealthy. That's their emphasis. And this is not what this is for today. We're not in that realm. This is the Word of God makes it clear. And so I believe the vast majority of people, is verse 18, is neglect. I don't believe the vast majority of people have faith in God, and therefore they are not really praying. You may go through the formality of praying, but that's not real prayer. Polly wants a cracker. That's not praying. And so they can, Polly, she can say those things and say other things, but that's not real praying. And so I want you to see, as I get into this morning, the devil has only one purpose for you and for me. And that is that if you have become a Christian, a genuine Christian, you were under his control, and now he's going to battle you, and he's going to do his best that you be destroyed. Did you hear that? I'm not looking forward to it. But it's a strange thing. I'll share with you. This has been difficult to prepare. Say, well, do it like you do any others. I do. But the thing with it is, all kinds of things came in the way to prepare. Now, I say, would you pray for the preachers? And you say, well, what do they need prayer for? They ought to be at top of the line. And they ought to be able to handle things well. Me praying a little prayer for them. You don't understand prayer. Been all kinds of situations that hampered in the preparing of this on prayer tonight or this morning. You say, well, that's just the way it is. But I want you to know it's very important. And the Lord wants us to stand and be successful. And he's given us his armor of power by way of our Lord Jesus and salvation. And he were commanded to put that armor on. It's not an optional thing. Say, well, I don't know that I need to get so serious about things. And, you know, I've been there, done that. But wait a minute. The Bible says you're to put this on if you're a Christian. You don't talk like that. And you need to understand what it's about. You know, it's in the Greek, this matter of is in the aorist tense, which is simply, it means that we're to put the armor on once and for all. That's the aorist tense. Put this armor on once and for all and keep it bright. How do you do that? Well, we'll get into that. And so I want us to look as a quick review about verse 14. Quick review of the forest. You say, well, you talk to us about each one of these as trees. No, but you got to get the whole picture. And that is, we talked about the belt of truth in verse 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate. That's the second piece, the two pieces in verse 14. And the belt of truth, that is the belt, leather belt, that they used in the military, the Roman soldiers. and everything kept everything in order. It also held the small sword, it is the idea that we're to believe everything that is in the Bible. It is the belt of truth, and it's to believe. The Bible is to believe. The Bible is the Word of God, and we're to conform to it. I said, all right, how about the second piece? That had to do with the breastplate of righteousness. And when we receive the Lord Jesus, we receive His righteousness, which is wonderful, His imputed righteousness, and say, yes, but when we have Christ's righteousness, then there is that we have to live then, we should live a holy life. And that's not a picnic, to live a holy life, a life of practical uprightness. We're to be upright people. And that means more than combing your hair the right way or dressing the right way like the Amish. And I say that out of kindness and grief to my heart, that they think those things are means of salvation. No, we're not talking about that. We're saying this is a spiritual breastplate of righteousness. And then the third one having to do with your feet. Verse 15, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And we said that we need boots, spiritual boots, if I may put it that way, our shoes, to walk in. So we have sure footing spiritually. Some people are tossed to and fro with untruths and heresies, but to have a sure footing that we can live, as the Bible puts it here, the matter of our feet, that we'd be able to stand and not slip all around spiritually or theologically. To have stability, spiritual stability. God says, I'll give you spiritual stability. And also that you have mobility, then you give the gospel of peace. You say, I don't understand that. Well, you have to go back to one of the messages and listen to it again. But the gospel of peace has to do with mobility and the matter of stability, of having a proper hobnob shoes, spiritually speaking. And then we have also the shield of faith, which is in verse 16. Again, you give you this to get the whole picture of what this armor's like, and then we'll talk about the part that is the oil for all this armor, and that is the shield of faith. Now, that was that large shield. You heard me talk about it, how they put it together of wood and also metal, and they soaked it in water, and when they go to battle, when they would fire these flaming darts or swords, arrows at them, that it would quench the flaming arrows, it says the fiery darts, in verse 16, of the wicked. And I tell you, friends, that shield of faith, it is the idea to be protected, to have God's confidence. We need confidence of God. And not only does that shield of faith tell us this, but it says something else, that you need to take it seriously. That shield is to be used. If you don't use the shield of faith, I'll tell you, you won't last long in this spiritual battle. You open yourself wide open to be shot at, spiritually speaking. Well, what else did we look at? We looked at the helmet of salvation also in this passage in verse 17. What about it? Take the helmet of salvation. It's the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And I tell you, friends, this helmet, it's to be sure of your salvation. You can't go to battle. You can't go to that confidence, not equipped. But if you know the Lord savingly, and He gives you that blessed assurance, that Jesus is mine, what a foretaste of glory divine when you have a confidence of eternal security. How wonderful, how wonderful. And that is in this helmet of salvation. I told you salvation is in three parts. I told you there was a time when you were regenerated. That's when you were saved initially. And now is salvation is you're being saved and you become sanctified, becoming more of like Christ. That's means sanctification, to be more of a holy person, living the life that pleases Him. And the future has to do with our glorification when we'll be perfect and no more sin and problems like this. And then I went on to show you in verse the sixth one, the sword of the Spirit. and verse 17, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That's the Word of God. It's a small sword. We explained it. It was an offensive weapon. It is to be used. And it is had to do, even though it's small, it is to be used you don't have to give a whole sermon to do this battle. Say, now wait, devil, I got to give you 3 points, an introduction and closure before I can use this. And no, just strike out the sword as the sword, as the Lord said, it is written. And that's just 3 words that was powerful, and the devil backed down. You don't need to know a whole lot to use the small sword, but it's the Word of God, the power of the Word of God. Now then, if we look at that, I just want to say this, looking at the whole wood, the forest, how are we supposed to really wage this war? We're supposed to put the gospel on, each piece put on with prayer. And I do want to encourage you. Sometimes we read these things and say, oh, woe is me. It looks like we're out there to be shot at and might as well just throw the towel in and quit. No, no. If you know the Lord Jesus, you're on the victory side. Would you get that, please? You're on the victory side. It's God's armor. He's going to protect you. But there is application, there's human responsibility, and he wants us to be strong in the Lord, and we're to take courage at what the Lord Jesus has done, and that he came, and he died, and he buried, and he rose again, and he ascended to heaven, making intercession for us, and he's the head of the church. Think upon the Lord Jesus when you're in this battle. Don't be thinking about yourself so much. Think about the Lord Jesus. And then the Bible says we're to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The fullness of the Spirit, which actually means to be controlled by the Spirit of God. Let the Spirit of God be your controller in your life. And he'll use the Word of God because all these things are connected. Each piece of this armor is connected with the Word of God, with truth. And we're supposed to be then clothed with God with this armor if we're gonna wage this war. Have this armor on. If you don't know Jesus Christ savingly, you don't have the armor. That's scary. You can't really fight. And you belong to the devil. And he's your father spiritually. And he's a liar. And he wants to kill. He says, jump, you ask how high. And you're under his control. But when you come to know the Lord Jesus, then he supplies this armor, God's armor. How wonderful it is. I just think the more we think about this, the more wonderful it is. It's not Sunday school lesson. I think Sunday schools have ruined some of this. It's still in your crawl, like we used to say back in the farm. Our chicken doesn't have a stomach like us. We have a gizzard, and it takes grain of stones to grind up the food, and it stays there a long time, maybe the whole the longevity of a bird. Some of these things stay in your craw if you've been taught in a Sunday school. And by the way, Sunday school is not biblical. A lot of things that are being done are not biblical. Youth ministries are not biblical either. We're concerned for youth, but a family church and the preaching the Word of God, as old brother Don Reiner used to say, he said, Pop used to make us sit at the table on those hard chairs for almost an hour as he'd read the Bible to us. And years later, he said, how good it was. Now that's pretty strong. But I want to tell you something. We're not talking about a picnic here, but he wants us to live a holy life. And that, my friend, it's a life of repentance and faith. We need to confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all righteousness. As Christians, we have to know what repentance is and to have faith that God will forgive us. A holy life. And so when we sin, the devil says, ha-ha. Yes, sir. See that? He's not paying attention to the Word of God. I got him now. It's like in a wrestling match. He has you down on the back, almost ready to pin you. Because you have sinned, and you've done it willfully, and you haven't dealt with it, and the devil has a grasp on you, he has a hold on you, and you're down for the count. Unless you see the cry out for God, forgive me, God. It's that simple, and yet it's profound. You say, I don't understand why things are going like they are. Well, there's a couple ways of looking at it. I believe that the Lord allows Satan to work us over some. No. Yes. To teach us a few things. Because if you're not careful, you can be a spoiled brat, spiritually speaking. And he said, the devil says, let me have a chance at that, Job, will you? Just let me have a chance at him. And the devil says, the Lord says, well, just so far. And I believe that's still operative, and it can work on our lives. You get to be where you're proud. I have been walking with the Lord. I've been a deacon. I have been a preacher. And you walk around. And he said, okay, he needs to be taught of the thing. I'll let you do a little few things on him. He's proud. Sometimes Christians can get proud. Pride. Proud. And when you get proud, say, I'm a pretty good guy, pretty good gal. I've been a good boy. He said, let the devil work you over. I do believe he lets that. It's in the permissive will of God. I don't want that. I don't even want to hear about it. But we'll resist him. We can resist him. James said to resist the devil, and he'll flee from us. And that is to speak to him. Give him the word of God. Use that small sword. Give it to him. But I want to get on now the introduction to verse 18. You say, well, I thought you were going to get there pretty soon, but it's still, we have time. And what is this verse 18 you want to talk about? It's talking about praying always, those first two words. Praying always. We'll get to the rest. Now, put on the attitude of prayer with all this armor that you put on. Each piece put on with prayer. And then begin to understand it's a time of fighting. It's not a time of life of ease. Now I'm going to retire. I know Jesus is my Savior. Everything's going to be hunky-dory. No. Somebody gave you the wrong message. It's not a life of ease. It's a life of fight. And it's not this life of prosperity, health and wealth gospel on the TV. How rank heresy that is. It's not, it doesn't concur with the Word of God. Ephesians 6, if you have any doubt about it, read 6, chapter Ephesians 6 and see where you get convinced yourself. But I'm saying this, that the devil has his schemes or his wiles of the devil. In verse 11, he does have his schemes. Put on the whole armor, verse 11, of God, that he may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And he wants us to understand that. They're around every day. Oh, no, they aren't. Oh, yes, they are. We need to have a secret weapon. So what is your secret weapon, Lord? Verse 18, prayer. Yes, it is. Well, I want to know about this secret weapon in this warfare. And that's where we're going to take some time. You haven't arrived at the matter of knowing about prayer, and I haven't. And we need to get prayer motivated so that it says, and I'm going to quote a man pretty soon by the name of Joel Beal. He's a theologian, and I think it's so good. And so I've taken that idea that he presents, and I'm going to try to major on it a little bit. We can be overcomers. But we cannot be overcomers if we haven't learned how to pray, genuinely how to pray. You won't be an overcomer. It says praying always. That means in the Greek, at all occasions. Wow, isn't that something? Not just when I have a problem, Lord. No, at all occasions. You mean when I'm having a good day? Yes. Well, verse 18. For all occasions, praying always. I don't know how that's operative, because I understand in the past we did look at a passage that said pray without ceasing in 1 Thessalonians. Pray without ceasing. Man, I got work to do. I got responsibilities. I can't be in praying when I've got a job to do. I can't figure out how the Lord wants us to pray always. There is a secret. It's a secret weapon. You know, it's nice to have a regular prayer time, a private time. I like what Susan Wesley did. I just love her for this. She had a large family. By the way, she wouldn't let any of her children cry aloud. I'd like to know how she learned to teach that. All those children, they were not allowed to cry out aloud. But when her prayer time was, she took her apron and she put it over her head. Bless her heart. Some of us don't even have a prayer closet like that, do we? A time of private prayer. Hey, you better look at verse 18 in case you think that you got it down. It says, at all occasions to be praying, not in just a crisis time. Oh, Lord, help me. And that's a good prayer. But do you really know what it means to pray at verse 18, praying always, or pray without ceasing? How do you do it when you have jobs and responsibility? How do you do it? Well, it means you can pray throughout the whole day. I don't think any of us pray too much. You say, well, I think I pray quite a bit. You do. Well, you didn't pray enough. Because it says at all times. I'll tell you this much. There's enough of weeds in our lives to just wipe out verse 18 for the most part. Why? There's the matter of materialism. There's the matter of the media. There's the matter of the loose newspaper. There's the magazines. There's little jobs that don't mean spit. But we still are busy, busy, busy people. They're like weeds. Some of them are like weeds. But those that we have to do, it's like breathing. You're breathing, aren't you? Are you cognizant of it? Well, if I think about it, yeah. But breathing is natural for people and for a Christian. And prayer is as breathing as for a person. And Christians, they breathe. It's like prayer is like breathing. Always, praying always. Well, I still don't understand it. If you're alive in Christ, you have the Spirit of God. And even if you just give a little sigh, what? Even if you just have a little cry of your heart, oh God, who says you got to have a 15-minute prayer? A man was saying about in his church, the preachers, there's two preachers, and they pray so long. They pray for everybody under the sun. He said, it's getting to the place where I just can't really figure out why they just pray so long and long and long. Well, in many words, maybe there's holiness. The Bible says, no, be careful of many words. And I believe this matter of praying always has to do with what we might say ejaculatory prayers, and that is say, Lord, help me. Lord, I need you. And you don't have to go through the whole thing. You have Christ, and you have his Spirit. I think you need to see that it's more than just having a dry and a formality. Now I've got to pray. Excuse me, people. I'm going to pray. And so I go through a formality of praying. Something's missing there. It's needed to have private time, but we need to ask the Lord to be near us, to cleanse us, to help us. And the Bible speaks about the groaning of our spirits with the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God takes our groans and makes them clear at the throne of grace. I tell you, this business of Ephesians 6:18, there's more to it than I think most of us really want to admit. And so I want to spend a little time on it. You say, well, it's wonderful to have the armor that God gives, but how are you going to keep it bright and shiny? You know, prayer is like in the element of a fish in water. Now, my sunfish, a goldfish hunter, I go take him out and walk around for a few minutes. Is that going to be all right? No. Their element is water. In case you don't believe it, let me stick you in a tub of water for a few minutes. If you don't think. And prayer is like the element that we're in as Christians. Even as I'm preaching, there is a matter of prayer being held. And you ought to be praying for the preaching. That I get this. And that I be fortified. And that I no longer be a babe in Christ. That I be strong in this life that God's given to me. That I be able to war properly and be victorious. So we have to breathe. We breathe spiritually. Now, I want to quote this for you. Joel Beek, he said, quote, as air is in our lungs, so prayer is our spiritual being. As air is in your lungs, that's why prayer is to be our spiritual being. You say, do you thought that was I thought it was really quite interesting. There's air in your lungs, there's air in my lungs. And it ought to be that prayer is just like our spiritual being. It's there all the time. And you don't have to say, well, if I don't pray aloud, God will not hear me. How silly. It shows how elementary we are. God knows the thoughts and the intents of our hearts. You don't have to. If I don't close my eyes, well, then I'm not really praying. I have to close my eyes in prayer. You do. Well, that's good to shut out everything else. And I do that even while preaching. People are preaching. I like to get everything, so I'll close my eyes. Some people think it may be sleeping. But I really am sincere about it. I want to get everything. And so the point of it is that this matter of, as we breathe spiritually, this business of prayer, it prevents us from panic and pride. You know, we've got to be saturated with prayer. And let me do this. Let me say we have sitting outside in the, now is it stop? We have a beautiful car out there. Oh, it's beautiful. Now, come on, ladies. You can appreciate a beautiful car, too, can't you? Not just us men folk. There, it's a beautiful thing. Lovely. Open the door. Smells like a new car. It's just lovely. I'd like to hear it. Run. Oh, no. What? Can't run it. Why? Don't have any oil in it. Oh, come on. No. No oil. And the Spirit of God refers to this as the oil. Give us oil in our lamps. And you can have a beautiful armor. Oh, what a wonderful armor. Whoa, we're so protected. So beautiful, yes. But verse 18 of Ephesians 6 says, there has to be the oil of prayer. Praying always, right in the very next. In fact, the matter is, I must tell you that in the original, verse 17, the last part of verse 17 and 18 are together. They're not separated by the 8, 17 and 18. So we have the Word of God having to do with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and in connection with all these six pieces, we need to pray always. It's connected. It's not separate. You say, well, I heard about all the six pieces now, and so now you're going to take off on prayer. No, no, it's connected. I'm not just taking it separately. It's connected with the armor of God. The prayer is praying always. I think I made myself clear in that. And I think that we need to understand this, that you just got to be more than you look good and you smell good. And you seem like everything's just fine, but if you don't have prayer behind this armor of God, you just don't have it yet. And that's what it's saying is. And the Bible does make it very clear to us. You know, very simply, it says in James that we have not because we ask not. Oh, I'm busy. Well, then, yeah, you're too busy. And so you don't ask, and so you don't receive, James says. You got to ask. So we need the oil of the Spirit. We need to be filled with the oil. And it has to be a life that is always a constant prayer. All the time. Is it possible? Yeah, the Bible says so. It's possible. We need to dedicate our hearts to the Lord. Say, Lord, you know, I'm yours, lock, stock, and barrel. Spirit, soul, and body. I'm yours. He said, that's fine. Consecrate. I want you to be completely consecrated to me. I'll give you the protection. And I want you to remember the responsibility that you're to be always praying for every occasion. The good days, the bad days, the crisis, everything. Just be talking to the Lord, praising the Lord, or doing something about it. Do you really think that's what it means? Yes, I really do. Ephesians 6, verse 18. I wonder if you've come to that conclusion yet. I want us to look further in this passage, because it not only tells us what prayer is, and as praying always, but it also tells us, like I said, what it is. In verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication. It's with prayer and supplication. It's in the Spirit. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. It has also how. It's by how we watch. And how does this work? watching with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. I want to deal with that. But I ask you this in closing. Are you praying? Are you praying always? Pray without ceasing? You see how you're working with your job and responsibilities? You know, you can have this armor of God, I said to you, but you can be like a car. It's so beautiful, looks so nice, and yet it has no oil, and you cannot operate it. Or like a boat out on the ground. What good is a boat out on the ground? You can't float it out in the ground. And a Christian who knows all these things, but he doesn't, and praying on every occasion, is like a boat there out on dry ground. Or a car, so beautiful, and yet no oil in it. I'd like us to sing a hymn before we have prayer and benediction. It's a hymn in saying, "Come, my soul, thy suit prepare." It's number 531. 531. We've asked earlier that you would be with us this morning and that we might have your presence in that special way. And as we've been able to sing these hymns about soldiery, Christian soldiery, and also the matter of prayer, how we are grateful for such hymns. We're grateful for Ephesians 6 and the matter of your armor and also the matter of prayer. May we see the necessity of it. May we see that if we know not Jesus Christ, then we don't have access to the throne of grace. We must know him savingly. May you speak to hearts, though that may be here and know not Jesus Christ savingly, that they would turn from their sins and trust Christ. And we who know him, may we appreciate what you've done for us. And now, the Lord bless thee and keep thee.
The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace through Christ. Amen. Please be seated.
Thank you for listening to this recording from the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church of Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania. We trust that it will have a lasting and eternal blessing to you. We would encourage you to visit us at 325 Yetter Road, Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania, or by way of our website at www.localchurchpa.com. That's www.localchurchpa.com. For further information, please call us at 570-546-6859 or email us at email@localchurchpa.com.